Forbidden Panel welcomes you to Panelcast, Forbidden Panel's weekly podcast featuring movie and comic news and reviews. And now, your hosts, AJ and Brian.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode 64 of the Panelcast. This is Brian.
And this is AJ. In this episode of the Panelcast, we will be saying goodbye to some good comic book companies that, you know, will be sorely missed. As well as touching base with the things that we've been up to in the past week and a half or so. It won't be another hour and a half show, I promise you. We're going to try and make this short and sweet and get the hell out of here. So all that and more coming up after the break.
Greetings, Forbidden Panelites. This is Benjamin Gleibert, Director of Publishing for Symantec, San Diego's premium comic book publisher and home of Mythoi and the webcomic The Undergrounds. Check us out online at symantec.com. That's SEMANTINK.com. For now, enjoy your geeky gurus, AJ and Brian. Symantec Publishing. Find the meaning in print.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Panelcast. We're going to do like we normally do, and that's go over the news. Brian, what do you got for us?
Well, first, we got a big story regarding comic giant DC. There's been a bunch of rumors floating around that they may be moving their operations to Los Angeles, and it looks like it's been at least partially confirmed. I haven't been able to find any articles stating this definitively, but it looks like what they're planning on doing is moving about half of their current staff and their operations over to Burbank.
What they're doing is they're moving the DC Entertainment side of the business over there, being the movies and all that stuff, TV shows. They're moving to Burbank because that would make an obvious choice since, you know, Hollywood and all that stuff is so close by.
Yeah.
The actual comic side of it is staying out in New York, though, much to the chagrin of a certain comic book store owner that we know.
Yeah. Looks like in the process, too, they've been speculating that probably about 20% of the workforce is going to be laid off during that whole process, which I guess is kind of unfortunate, but comes with the territory.
Yep.
The only thing really I can think about this is that hopefully maybe it'll mean that some better DC-based movies start coming out.
You know, I actually like a lot of the DC movies that are out anyway right now, with the exception of like Jonah Hex and what have you. So I don't know. I can't see much of an improvement other than Smallville finally ending.
Yeah, how long has that thing been going now?
10 seasons, man.
I think I stopped watching it after 3 or 4.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
Well, what other news stories have you got for us?
Well, on the same vein as you discussing the DC Comics move, two of their subdivisions, different properties that they have been forced to close down. That being the Zuda imprint, which has been struggling for many years anyway, and Wildstorm. I don't know about you, Brian, but Wildstorm is one of my favorite comic book companies out there with all the stuff that they put out, like Wildcats and what have you. So I'm pretty sad to see them go. But at the same time, most of their characters and titles will be absorbed fully into the DC universe. So you'll actually see them coming out under the DC title, emblem, what have you. So, I mean, yeah, it's bad that Wildstorm is losing its individuality and identity, but at the same time, it's going to be pulled in, so we'll be able to see, you know, like Maul and Superman hanging out or something like that. So, you know, it's not that big of a loss.
Yeah, I mean, I was never really a huge reader of a lot of the Wildstorm titles, but I did like Wildcats.
Yeah, you know, I loved Wildstorm. I thought they were great, especially with the Grifter. You know, I thought he was a badass character. The Sleeper series, which is phenomenal, that they put out. So, as well as The Authority. I mean, The Authority is one of my favorite comic books out there. So, I mean, we'll see what happens on that front. But with the doors being closed, they're taking a break, at least anywhere from 6 months to a year, to get everything reabsorbed into the DC universe and get things figured out in that aspect. So, for the time being, we're going to say goodbye to our favorite titles from the Wildstorm universe while we wait patiently for them to show back up on DC's side. Brian?
Well, I've got another story here that showing the spread of this comic book cancer that's been kind of going around lately in the form of throwing celebrities into your comics.
Is this another Blue Water talk?
No, this is actually not a Blue Water story. Surprise, surprise. The latest company to feature this particular disease is Archie Comics. I don't know what the name of the actual company is. I guess they're just Archie Comics. But no, they apparently are going to be featuring Barack Obama and Sarah Palin together in a two-issue storyline that's supposed to deal with the high school presidential race between Archie and Reggie, which sounds absolutely riveting.
Not really.
Yeah. So, I don't know. There's...
You just have an issue with, like, comic books being dedicated to live-action people.
It's not even that so much. It's just the fact that it's a gimmick, you know, and it's nothing more than that. I mean, there's no reason to put...
But, Brian, we work on a zombie comic. Isn't that kind of a gimmick as well?
Well, that's different. That's sort of like, you know, I mean, we're working within an established genre. This is something where there's no real reason to feature these characters in the comic other than for the sales. I mean, I don't see what they're going to contribute to any storyline. And, you know, all of the other comics that have come out, they're not really contributing anything. There's no real reason to feature celebrities in your comic for the most part. I mean,
well, let me ask you this. What would you rather see? Would you rather see celebrities in a comic, or would you rather see celebrities using their popularity to print their own comic?
I would rather see celebrities using their popularity to make their own comics than to see them in comics. And, you know, I mean, it still kind of irks me a little bit when, you know, people start releasing their own comics just because they want to get on the bandwagon kind of thing. But at least if they're presenting some sort of an original storyline or, you know, something different, that's one thing. But, you know, just throwing celebrities into your comic really serves no purpose other than to have them there as a marketing gimmick. That's all it is.
Well, yeah, but I mean, they gotta eat. And don't get me wrong, I don't support it in any way, shape, or form. I'm just playing devil's advocate for you right now. You know?
No, it's, I mean, they're obviously allowed to do whatever they want with their comic. I'm not saying that Archie Comics can't do it. I don't see the reason behind it.
You know, personally, for me, it just doesn't make sense in the first place to bring something like that in. I mean, you're talking about, I mean, these people are basically just guest starring in a couple of the Archie comics, or are they having their own? Well, you know, as far as guest starring goes, I mean, Marvel even does it. You know, everybody does it at some point in time just to hop on the bandwagon. The problem is that they're doing it, 3 years too late. When Obama came out, man, we saw how overflooded the market came with Obama comics and Obama cameos all over the place, you know? So to have them show up in Archie comic books, it just is, I don't know. Especially considering the time period that Archie is established in, you know, having a black president show up is going to throw the whole world in a shock at that point. You know? Much less an intelligent black guy, you know.
They had the whole thing with the gay character in the Archie comics. So, I mean, they're being a little more progressive than that. It's not even that so much. It's just, what's the point? Like, there's no real reason to it. Like, from what I understand of the storyline, is they're going to have some little moral between Reggie and Archie, you know, fighting it out for whatever school election thing they're dealing with. And then, like, you know, they respectively have Obama and Palin come in on their sides. And
yeah, but see, then, once again, that makes no sense considering, again, Archie's time period. You know, they're not the president at that time. Palin is not a senator at that time or a representative. So how are they going to have them? Are they, like, traveling through a wormhole to fucking show up randomly and help them out politically? And even so, how much clout are they going to have in that time period? It makes no sense to have them show up at that point, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know if they've updated the time period that Archie is in or what exactly. I don't read the comics,
right.
So I can't say. But it just speaking in generally, just in terms of comics, I don't understand the point of putting celebrities in your comics. It never seems to serve any purpose for the actual storyline, and they're usually there for one, maybe two issues, and they just are kind of there, and they don't really drive anything.
Right.
You know, they don't even serve as like a MacGuffin. They're just there, and it's completely irrelevant to everything. So,
it's comic books. What are you gonna do?
I say.
Right.
What about you? What do you got?
Well, on a sad note, and not really comic book related, but this is one of those TV shows that I know we both love, as well as almost everybody on the face of the planet, and Spartacus. The lead actor, Andy Whitfield, will not be returning for Spartacus during season two.
No, I thought he was going to. I thought he was recovering.
Apparently he had recovered initially and was doing great, but once he started doing the workout and stuff again to get into the Spartacus shape, his non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, you know, came back up.
That sucks.
Yeah, so he will not be able to show back up into this season two. They have to resume aggressive treatment for his illness, and because of that, we just won't be expecting to see him in season two, much less even if there is going to be a season two at this point, because, I mean, without him in it, they don't have a Spartacus. They would have to recast it. I don't know. He's one of the reasons why Spartacus was so great. You know, he did a great job,
right,
in it.
Because, I mean, the show is cheesy, but...
It's cheesy, but it's glorious. It's
cheesy in an awesome way.
Fucking TV show. I love it, you know?
And honestly, Andy Whitfield was perfect for the role he was playing.
Right. I mean, like, he came out of nowhere and just nailed it. And to have to recast somebody else for the role, it's going to be sad to see. Fortunately, though, they will still air the... prequel called Gods of the Arena, which I don't believe has anything to do with Andy Whitfield or Spartacus, so you know he's okay with that end. But yeah, it's sad to see that Andy Whitfield, he won't be returning. So no more Spartacus for you, buddy. But we do hope that you get well enough, you know, just in life, much less showing back up for the TV show. So good luck with that, Brian.
Yeah. Well, I think that's about all the stories that I've got for the moment.
Oh well, I've got one more.
All right, lay it on me.
One more. I got one more. The director, Gavin Hood, right now is currently moving forward with his efforts to make the Ender's Game movie. Brian, as you well know, Ender's Game has been like, you know, one of those in-production hell films that have been just floating in the background that we keep hearing random rumors pop up every now and then about. You know, when was the last time we heard about it? 2 years ago, we heard that Ender's Game was coming out, or they were working on it. Well, now, for whatever reason, it got canceled. Now they're trying to do it again. Gavin Hood, some of you may remember from X-Men Origins Wolverine. Again, that puts a bad taste in my mouth. But, you know, he's currently in the process of trying to get everything going with it and to push it out. Hopefully, we'll see something. Ender's Game being an amazing book, followed by its predecessor, Ender's Shadow, as well as all the Ender's books. The entire series is awesome. Just, and you know, I love it. So we shall see what happens. And that's all I had, Brian. And apparently Brian has disappeared. All right, well, we'll go ahead and take a quick break, and hopefully when we come back, Brian will be here.
Guys, this is Daniel Corey. I'm the founder of Danger Cat Creative Studio, and I want to tell you real quick about my upcoming comic, Moriarty, The Dark Chamber. It's about Professor Moriarty, the arch nemesis of Sherlock Holmes. I'm working with artist Anthony Diachidua on it, letterer Dave Lampier. Please go to DangerCat.com and check it out. That's DangerCat.com. And please go over to Kickstarter.com. We're running a campaign right now to try to raise funds for the production of the book. So, you know, shoot us an email, let us know how you like it, and we'll see you on the web.
And welcome back. Sorry for the technical difficulties there.
Brian, hit the mute button.
Yeah, I'm still getting used to this new headset that I got, and it has a lot of special features that I don't really know how to use yet.
But the mute button.
Well, yeah, I figured out how to use the mute button.
Obviously, in the middle of our broadcast. Way to show professionalism, Brian.
Hey, it's what I do.
I know. So what's up? What do we got this segment?
Well, I haven't actually read any comics recently. I keep meaning to and then keep not doing it, but I have, however, at your recommendation, watched Being Human. And I watched both seasons of it. They're pretty short seasons, so...
You gotta love the BBC and their short seasons, man, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
So what did you think?
Yeah, it's nice. Well, I have to say this. The whole show and the concept of the show is cheesy as hell.
Right.
But I thoroughly enjoyed every minute of it.
Really?
Yeah, it's an entertaining show. And there's, I mean, I'm not going to make any excuses or anything for it. I like it. I don't really care if it's some cheesy supernatural show and,
See, that's what I like about it. I mean, it's cheesy, yes, and it has fun with itself, but,
right.
I mean, toward the end of the seasons, you know, like, I'd say episode 5 it's like an intense fucking show.
Well, yeah, I mean, they definitely do have pretty dramatic storylines, and, I mean, it's not just a pure comedy, which I don't think I would enjoy it if it was just like a pure comedy type show, like a sitcom or something with the same theme. Wouldn't work at all, but it has just the right blend of comedy and drama to make it entertaining. Like it's lighthearted, but they still put the characters into serious situations and deal with serious topics. And I kind of like the theme of them, you know, these people all trying to, trying to be human, basically, you know, the title of the show.
Right.
And it's really kind of interesting to present, you know, like these monsters in this way, you know, taking the vampire werewolves and ghosts and putting a different spin on it where they're not the villains of this story. They're, you know, they're just trying to fit in with society.
Well, they're anti-heroes.
Yeah, well, definitely in season 2, a lot of that kind of comes in. But, I mean, it seems more like they're not set up as, like, heroes, anti-heroes, or really anything. They're just who they are. And trying to, you know, mesh who they are with who they want to be.
Right. No, I definitely dig this series. I mean, it's not Buffy. It's not Angel. You know what I mean? It's not as cheesy and campy as
That's kind of what I was expecting when I first started watching this show.
I walked into it thinking the same thing. I was expecting, you know, crossbows and teeny boppers, you know?
But no, they really do focus on taking the storylines that they're presenting seriously. And it's more like the humor comes in just in the interaction of the characters, not in them trying to be slapstick about it. Like, it's more of the dynamic of the characters' interactions is what's humorous, you know? Just like the little quips that they toss off to each other and the way that they deal with certain situations.
Or that one episode when both the werewolf and the vampire accidentally end up in the couch cuddling real quick and they're just cracking up.
Yeah.
That was improv, by the way. That was improv, so I thought that was genius, but yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely, it's a fun show, it's entertaining, and I don't mind at all that it's cheesy. It's just, it's fun to watch. I like it.
Which is your favorite character?
I don't know. I think I kind of like Annie.
Ah, the ghost.
Yeah, just, I don't know. Her character seems like the most interesting character to me in terms of, you know, what she has to deal with, because she has a lot more problems, really, than the other two.
Right. Well, I don't know. I don't know about that much.
I mean, just her problems in terms of being able to sort of, like, pass as human, because for the most part, people can't see or hear her. So she has a much larger setback than, I mean, because...
I liked at the end of season 1 when she walks into the funeral parlor and just wrecks everybody. Yeah, that was just awesome to me. But I think I can agree with you on that aspect, in that her problems are voluntary. Like, everything about her character is voluntary, whereas Werewolf is cursed and the vampire, you know, the same thing. He was a sacrifice. You know, Annie's problems, once she discovers, you know, how to move on, and she decides not to because she wants to stay warm with her friends. So every problem that she has is voluntary at that point. So, you know, I like that aspect and that she's sacrificing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I think, too, like, the other two characters, I mean, for the most part, the vampire really can blend in with society. It's mostly just like, you know, they kind of present him as, you know, like sort of like a drug addict because,
right,
you know, he craves blood. But, I mean, for the most part, he can blend in into society and not really get noticed. And then the other guy, I mean, he only has to deal with his issue once a month.
Right.
Or so, you know, depending. I think it's like 28 days, the cycle of the moon. But as far as Annie's character, or as far as the character Annie goes, you know, a lot of her issues are actually seem to be a little more psychological in terms of, you know, she can be visible, she can be seen, but a lot of it depends on her mental state. And so
right.
I just think it makes her a little more of an interesting character.
Yeah, no, that's definitely true. But yeah, no, I agree. I love the show. I thought the show was awesome. They did a great job. There's some really slow parts, some really slow episodes, but, you know, they make up with it. Come toward the end of the season, you just got to hang in there. It's like I was telling Brandy the other day, Brandy Ausset, she's another Forbidden Panel person. You know, she was giving it the first two episodes of the series before she, you know, wrote it off.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to convince her to give it at least the first season. It's only six episodes the first season anyway.
Right.
You know? So, because at that point, especially episode 5 of the first season, that's when it really starts picking up, gathers up some steam and stuff, and it just goes from there. One thing I do like about the series, though, especially in the season 2 finale, was when they find, you know, that little writing from Tully at the bottom, you know, werewolves can die, Tully being a werewolf from season 1, you know, stuff like that. They keep bringing it back. They remind you about characters that have come into these people's lives and have left. But
yeah, there's definitely a consistent storyline throughout the seasons.
They don't write anybody off.
It's not just episodic.
No? Right. It's great, you know. Whereas in most TV shows, come season 2, you've forgotten about half the characters that aren't in there anymore from season 1.
Or even throughout the season, like, each episode is almost a self-contained story and doesn't really have any sort of crossover with anything else. And in this series, they kind of do that, where they'll have something that kind of gets resolved at the end, but they still have a general storyline behind everything else that is consistent.
Now, I do have to say that the very end of the season 2 finale, I was not a fan of. Like, the very last scene that they brought in, you know, when they're in their snow.
Yeah,
It felt like up until that point that they were good to go, and then they found out that they get a season 3, so they decided to throw that in there as a cliffhanger. You know what I mean? Like, season 2 would have wrapped up great before that end segment. And then the last piece they brought in, like, oh, cliffhanger, we forgot, you know.
Yeah, but they didn't even really need that, though, to go into season 3, because there was other stuff that happened.
Right, that's what I'm saying. It was a pointless segment.
Yeah, I wasn't really expecting that, and then when it happened, I didn't really see what the point was.
Right, it didn't bother me, you know, good or bad, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's just, okay.
Yeah, basically. So cool. Awesome. I'm glad you liked it. Another one of my recommendations you like. Yay. What's that make? Like two?
Two. Yeah. Two or three.
Two or three. Yeah. Awesome.
Well, I'll let you pat yourself on the back for this one.
Thanks. I can't reach. Can you do it? No. Okay.
Nah. I don't think anybody heard that.
Yeah. I guess not.
Well, have you read any comics or anything lately?
You know what? I fail. I fail hardcore. Here's what's going on. And I'll explain why. I haven't been able to do a lot as far as reading goes because I've been sitting on the backside trying to get the next couple of issues of ZKS rolling out, as well as some other projects that we're working on going. So I haven't had a chance to actually sit down and read.
That's forgivable.
Yeah, I'm just trying to work on Forbidden Panel stuff. And I just, again, that's my bad. I haven't had a chance to do it. What I did do, though, is I've had a chance to watch some TV shows and stuff. The new fall season has started up, and with it, all kinds of crazy new shows coming out. And honestly, like, I can't pinpoint the one I like the most. I pretty much like them all. My favorite's got to be, and I'm ashamed to say it, but it's either a toss-up between Mike and Molly or Hawaii Five-0. You know, and I'm a little ashamed to say that because it's Hawaii Five-0.
Yeah.
Hawaii Five-0 did a great job as far as action goes and storyline and everything, bringing in random cameos, Norman Reedus, James Marsters, like that. They did a good job with it. The only problem that they have is the editing. The editing of the show really is kind of crappy. I don't want to say it's too crappy. It's just I think they get too wrapped up into themselves and they realize, oh, crap, we only have an hour. And, oh, crap, we only have 40 minutes because we have to have commercials as well. So the editing is a little choppy, but otherwise I think it's a decent show. It should be labeled where canceled TV shows go to die, because I mean it's got Daniel Day-Kim, who I'm a huge fan of, originally from Buffy, then Angel, and then we saw him a lot on Lost, and now he's here. Grace Park from Battlestar Galactica, Alex O'Loughlin from Moonlight, and then Three Rivers, two shows I'm sure you've never even heard of, much less seen, Brian.
I've seen Moonlight.
Okay, so, Alex Laughlin showing up from there. Scott Kahn, who was doing a short stint on Entourage and is now over here. You may remember him better from the Ocean's movies and being, James Kahn's son. But, yeah, so it's got, all these random actors from series that have died acting in the show. And they do a good job. They do a really good job, I think. And I'm pretty anxious to see where it's going. Mike and Molly is... You know what, dude? There's a double-edged sword with this show. Mike and Molly is about these two overweight people who meet at Overeaters Anonymous and are trying to establish a romantic relationship and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny as crap. I mean, seriously, it's comedy. Like, I'm cracking my ass off left and right, but at the same time, I'm like, oh, they're just making fun of fat people. Oh, but they're making fun of themselves, so it's okay. You know, it's like one of those things.
Yeah.
So it's in there, it's out there. I don't know. It's only 30 minutes, you can't argue with it. And it's pretty funny. I got to give it up.
I might give them a shot. I don't know. A lot of the new shows that are come out haven't really piqued my interest yet.
And, what's sad is I haven't really found one I don't like. I watched Outlaw. I thought that was pretty cool. The theme this season, though, whereas last season, I wrote a column about this. Last season, the theme was... medical shows and science fiction shows that came out. The only survivor of any of those being Stargate. I can't remember the name. Holy crap. It's
one of the Stargates.
Yeah, the new Stargate series, as well as Mercy, being the medical drama that survived. Those two were the winners. This season, though, it seems to be about law shows and cop shows. A lot of them going on right now, a lot of them out there, so we'll see who the survivor is. But, I'm kind of digging it, I'm kind of liking it. The one show I didn't really feel for, two of them actually, were Melissa and Joey. That's Melissa Joan Hart and Joey Lawrence. Like, either one of them need a fucking TV show.
Right.
I mean, I watched the first episode and turned it off halfway through. And that's me, the guy that watches everything to the end so that I can have a viable reason to bitch. I turned that shit off halfway through. The other one was The Event. Not that it was a bad show, but it seemed like, what was the name of that show last season that got canceled, that was supposed to tie into Lost?
No idea.
The one where everybody fell asleep for like 22 minutes or some shit. Flash Forward. It feels like a Flash Forward. And we saw what happened. We saw what happened to Flash Forward last season. It didn't even last a full season.
Yeah.
So I'm afraid to get behind the show because I'm afraid it's going to get canceled. But at the same time, I kind of want to watch it to see if it doesn't get canceled and where it's going with it. So,
For the most part, I think myself, I'm really just eager to get back into the shows that I've already been watching from last season.
Yes, Chuck came back and was glorious. I love that fucking show, though I have no idea what the hell Olivia Munn was doing in that episode. She really served no purpose. Did you watch it, Brian?
No, I have not.
Okay. I won't spoil anything for you, but Chuck was awesome, as always. I'm waiting for Big Bang Theory to come back.
Yeah, Big Bang Theory. House just started up again.
See, I don't watch House, so like I don't care.
I love that show.
I don't care.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, I just don't care about what you like. That's basically what I'm trying to say.
You do care.
I don't. It just
you care a lot.
Adds for great argument on the show. Yeah, Two and a Half Men came back, and that show is fucking glorious. Anyway. I love that show. You know what? Shut the fuck up. You're just jealous. Jealous.
Jealous of what? Charlie Sheen?
No goddamn clue, but you're jealous of something, goddamn it. So yeah, you know, those shows. The fall season, we'll see what happens here. I'm not too enthusiastic about anything that's happening or what's going on with it, but...
Well, I was enthusiastic about Spartacus until...
Until I broke your heart.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, thanks for that.
Yeah, shut up. So yeah, there you have it, the new fall season. And you know, stick to the website. We'll be talking more about stuff that goes on and what shows we like and what have you. You know, we're always trying to update at some point in time. If Brian actually did anything with this company.
Maybe one day.
Maybe one day. So with that, why don't we go ahead and take a break from this segment. And when we come back, we'll play catch up on Forbidden Panel. Be right back.
Hey, how's it going? This is Derek from Pulp Fiction and Long Beach, the world's biggest selection of graphic novels and comic books. Check out our website at www.cheapgraphicnovels.com, and you get all your graphic novels at 40% off cover price. How much?
45% off
cover. Even better than 40%. And we can ship it to you anywhere in the United States. Again, check out www.cheapgraphicnovels.com, or if you're in Long Beach, California, check us out at Pulp Fiction.
1742 Clark Avenue, Long Beach, California.
We got manga, we got anime, we got back issue comics, current comics. We'll put you on the pull list, give you a good discount. Graphic novels, figures, toys, the whole shebang. Check us out, because we rock. Pulp Fiction and CheapGraphicNovels.com. Booyah.
And we're back. All right, AJ, what are we going to talk about?
You know, one thing I should have brought up in the last segment that I forgot to bring up, and that is that I have watched Superman Batman Apocalypse. I don't know if I talked about it in the last episode or not, but I'm going to talk about it right now. You know, DC is doing a great job of putting out animated movies. It seems like we're getting one every couple months. I mean, Batman Under the Red Hood just recently came out, and then this one. Batman Under the Red Hood, I think they nailed. You know, we've discussed that before. They did a great job with that show.
Yeah, that one was pretty good.
And Superman Batman Apocalypse, I think they did a good job too. My problem with it is that I think it's inappropriately named. Because you go in thinking it's going to be about, just the entire show is going to be about Darkseid or, you know, and Apocalypse and all that stuff. And it really isn't. It's about Supergirl and how she lands on Earth and her issues and stuff. And, you know, the whole Darkseid thing doesn't really show up until the last quarter of the episode or the movie. So, again, I think it's, like, inappropriately titled. And the art was really good, except I just didn't like the way their lips moved. Their lips looked. It just looked like, I don't know. It just looked weird to me for some reason. But I do have to say this. The last 10 minutes of that movie is the shit. Like, seriously, it is like balls to the wall fucking action and badassness. So for that alone, it is worth sitting through the rest of the movie. I mean, even if the rest of the movie was crap, the last 10 minutes make up for it. And honestly, the movie isn't that crappy at all. But, you know, it's just not as good as I think it should have been. But the last 10 minutes make up for it. Like, hands down, I can't argue with that action, with what's going on there. So if you haven't watched it yet, which I'm pretty sure you haven't since it's not even out yet, make sure you go and pick it up, because it's definitely something you want to add to your collection.
Well, it seems like they're able to do the action sequences in the animated movies a lot better than they can with live action.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, I think it started off with the Green Lantern movie, to be honest with you. Like, I'm having a hard time thinking back past that as far as action sequences and stuff like that. It started with the Green Lantern movie, and it's just gone from there. They've done a really good job at highlighting the individual superheroes and being able to include almost everybody in the DC universe in a lot of their movies and just running with it, and they're doing a good job. So seeing that side of the company moving to Burbank or Hollywood out here, I'm hoping that they're able to keep up with it or even improve on it. So, you know, who knows? We'll see, but I'm very excited for what's going to happen. Marvel needs to take a cue from them and do the same, you know? Speaking about Marvel real quick, one little news bit that I forgot to add in there is Ryan Reynolds right now may not be playing Deadpool in the Deadpool movie. He's having schedule conflicts with a couple other things that he's rolling with right now, so it's all up in the air. I think it would be in his best interest to not do the Deadpool movie. Like, I really don't want to see a Deadpool movie, as big of a fan of Deadpool as I am, and as perfectly casted as Ryan Reynolds is for the role of Deadpool. I think that with him being Green Lantern next year, it'll kind of spoil it to see him playing another major character in a Marvel movie, you know? But that's just my opinion. Having said that, let's move on to what Forbidden Panel's doing. Brian, you know we got that big contest coming up, man.
Yeah, I'm excited for it.
You need to come out here and join us for it. It'd be awesome.
I'm working on that.
I know. I just like to give you shit.
Yeah. Everybody does.
The new contest is ZKS, join the ZKS Army. And we will be at the Fox Theater in Redlands in conjunction with the Redlands Paranormal Society. I believe that is their name. I could be getting it wrong, and I'm sorry, Nick and Jenny, if I am. They're going to be running a haunted house down at this old haunted theater where I do part-time work at, and they are allowing us to run our ZKS audition contest there. The basic premise of the contest is this. You come dressed up as a member of ZKS or as a zombie. I'm sure it'll be more zombies than anything. And if we like your costume, we like your look, we'll take pictures of it, and we'll draw your likeness into the comic book. I'm very excited about it. I'm very excited to see the turnout. And if possible, we're going to try and stage a zombie walk afterwards, just to walk down the streets of Redlands and see, if we get arrested or not. But what a way to spend the night in jail, right? Because nobody's going to want to fuck with us. We're all dressed like zombies. Unless you're into necrophilia, but that's just weird.
Let's not go there at all.
So we're very excited about it. There's a lot of details up on it on the website, as well as Facebook, as well as zombiekillsquad.net. Please check it out. We need as many people showing up as possible. It's also a good opportunity for artists to show up and showcase their work. If you want to come out and help us and submit some ideas for characters or zombies, we'll take them into consideration and try and see what we can do. We have two books coming out next month. One being the Pinup Contest book, the Pinup Contest just went phenomenal. I thought it was a better turnout than I had even expected.
I wasn't really sure what to expect, and it went well.
It surpassed my expectations.
Mm-hmm.
So that book will be coming out, as well as the 24-hour comic book edition of ZKS, which will be a spotlight on Kayla. I've just recently shared the cover image, which I just got with Brian,
I'm pretty excited. It looks awesome.
We're both loving the cover. Justin did once again a phenomenal job on it, and Brian, anything he can do to get his name on the fucking cover of a comic book, even though he wasn't there, did the lettering for it.
I contributed some.
You did something. I don't know what you did. We got those two books coming out next month. We will be at the 24-hour comic book day at Four Color Fantasies on October 2nd. I'm very excited for that. It'll be our second time out there. We'll have multiple artists, so we'll be able to cover multiple books this time, not just CKS, but other books that we're working on as well. So by 6 months from now, you'll see multiple titles coming out from us based on what we do at 24-Hour Comic Day. I'm excited. It's an exhaustingly long day, but it's so worth it at the end of it all. Once again, all these things that Brian can't come out to, so I'm just going to keep rubbing that in his face.
Yeah, well, I need a little more salt in these wounds, so go ahead.
Yeah, because you're getting a little, flavorful. So, also, we will be at the Alternative Press Exposition in San Francisco, October 16th to the 17th. it's our first really big con. We'll be there surrounded by thousands of other independent comic book creators, as well as all the fans and stuff that normally come out for it. It's going to be a great time. Unfortunately, we could not get under the Forbidden Panel banner, so you'll have to look for us during with Draw Hard Studios. Our friend John Narcomi is running a booth. We'll have our own table and so on and so forth. But we had to get under his name. So don't look for our name in the announcements of APE, but definitely look for our table while we're there. We'll be right next to John and Draw Hard Studios. Long Beach Comic Con is coming up, Brian. Another one you won't be able to make. See, I'm just a dick to Brian. It's just awesome, our dynamic that we work on.
Yeah, well, it's what works for us.
Yeah, it happens. We will not be out there as far as having a booth, because it happens at the same time as the zombie contest that we're having, as far as the 29th goes. But the rest of the weekend is fully available. Go check it out. A lot of great people are going to be there. And anything is better than San Diego Comic-Con, to be honest with you. Coming over to my house to read comics is better than San Diego Comic-Con at this point. Not that I don't have a great time at San Diego. It's just not a comic book convention in my eyes. It's just not.
It's its own thing now.
Yeah, it's its own entity. I don't know. WonderCon will always remain my favorite comic book convention. And Brian, I'm telling you, I give you a lot of shit for it, but if you can make it out for any convention whatsoever, you need to make it out for WonderCon, because that is just hands down the best comic book convention you'll ever see.
Maybe we should start like a charity or something.
We should. Oh, actually, we already do. We are accepting mad donations right now on our website to help with the printing of comic books and help get us out to the conventions and stuff. If you donate any amount of donation, you'll receive a free sticker. The higher the donation, obviously, you'll receive, more free stuff from us. We definitely appreciate all your support and love, and we wouldn't be here without it. I feel like at the end of every episode of Panelcast is me just rambling on about all the shit that we do and all the love we give to the fans, but that's okay, because you guys deserve it.
Right, yeah, I mean, where would we be without them?
Well, you'd be in Massachusetts and I'd be in California. Oh, wait.
Well, that's where we're at right now, but I just mean in terms of Forbidden Panel, like, without the drive of our fans, we wouldn't really have anything.
No. We wouldn't be sold out of our fourth printing of ZK Zero. That's for damn sure.
Right.
When I've got Chris coming out to me saying, we need more comics of your comics because we're completely out, that just, makes me smile and want to be like, no, they can wait. But, well, I mean, seriously, that's just a big, ego boost for me. It makes me feel great that we're doing this for the right reasons. And, we have a lot of fans. We boosted up last month because of the pinup contest. We sat at 170 fans for, the longest time on Facebook. Mm-hmm. Now we're up to 270. We added 100 people in a month.
Yeah.
So, we're just ever increasing. We're getting great hits on the website, great hits on both websites. You guys are awesome, and, you fuel our fire, and thank you so much for being there for us. We really appreciate it. If any of you are, into having sex with comic book creators, Brian is readily available and looking for somebody to do that. So contact him right away.
Yeah. I only charge $50 an hour.
Yeah, there you go. And he only lasts 2 seconds, so you're getting money.
Yeah.
Seriously.
It's quite a deal.
It is quite a deal. What the fuck's going on with Geek Girls, Brian?
Well, it's sort of still up in the air at this point. I'm still working on doing some traditional Geek Girls episodes until I can get all of the details sorted out with everything else. Unfortunately, getting several people to come in on a podcast, as we've figured out before, and we've tried having other people on with us, scheduling conflicts and other things. So it's still in the works. There's not really anything definitive I can say about it yet. I may have to, I don't know, maybe you have to check and see if I could get some other people or something. I don't know yet.
I like bringing this up to Brian while we're on the air, because he just stumbles around what he's trying to say because it puts him on the spot.
Right. Well, if you would tell me ahead of time that you're going to ask, then maybe I would have an answer. But
What's the point of doing that? It's all about the surprise. You got to live for the moment, man.
I should just know to expect it from now on.
Yeah, exactly. Every episode I'm going to ask, because the fans want to know. All three of them. They want to know what's going on with them. So, yeah.
Well, I'm still working on it. And it's not something that, you know, I mean, I am still in contact with all of the people that I've been talking to about doing the Geek Girl show. So, it's right now it's just a matter of scheduling. You know, several of the people that I've talked to about it are currently in school, so it makes it a little bit harder, but we're getting there.
Awesome. Yeah, well, it's a great segment. Check it out, guys. If you're on the website right now and you're listening to the Panelcast, I suggest afterwards you go check out some of the past episodes of Geek Girls and even some of the recent episodes of my side panel, AJ's side panel. We have a lot of things, a lot of options for you guys to do and stuff while you're here, so don't feel constricted to just one thing. And the Geek Girls episodes are great episodes and wonderful to hear, and we get a lot of fan reaction from it. So look forward to seeing more of it, hopefully sometime soon, Brian, as well as more episodes of AJ Side Panel. I pretty much am done. Brian, do you have anything else you want to stumble on about?
No, I think I've embarrassed myself enough.
I don't think that's humanly possible.
Okay, well, I've embarrassed myself enough for my standards, so.
You have standards?
Yeah, apparently.
All right. Well, that's all I got. Brian, why don't you wrap us up and take us out?
All right, I want to thank everybody for listening to episode 64 of the Panelcast, and stay tuned to episode 65.
Awesome. See you guys next week.
Panelcast is brought to you by Forbidden Panel. Please visit us at www.forbiddenpanel.com.